So on the more positive side of the unrest on the Korean Peninsula, few nations in modern history can match the story of South Korea. From backward, war-ravaged country a half century ago to world economic giant today, it is a lesson from the developing world that the debt-ravaged so-called first world might be wise to pay attention to. But the South Korean turnaround isn't the only place where the developing world has lessons for the world's big financial players. Such lessons are to be found in the new book from Peter Blair Henry, dean of NYU's Stern School of Business. The book is called Turnaround: Third World Lessons for First World Growth. Welcome, Dean.
Great to be with you, John.
And let's talk about South Korea, because in many ways you lay out the discipline that's required to make an economic turnaround. That's really a theme of this book. South Korea started small and got really, really big. What's the story?
South Korea is a really interesting story because discipline doesn't mean what people typically think it means. People think discipline means the willingness to take on extreme measures. And South Korea shows us that discipline in the context of international trade, for instance, means not just exporting, not a mercantilist worldview, which is people tend to fall into what I call the trade trap when they think about international trade. We need to export but not import. South Korea learned to export by first importing. And during their remarkable period of growth from 1965 to 1990, when they grew at 7.1% per year, which is three times as fast as the U.S. has ever grown during its heyday, post-World War II, South Korea was running trade deficits.
And, you know, the interesting thing there is that you're making investments and you're making sure that you're opening the pathways slowly but surely to make sure that those investments pay off. It's not hit or miss, take a lot of loans out or, let the market play by itself. It's an interesting mix of managed economy as well as free market.
That's a great point, because when people think about the so-called Washington consensus, which is the backdrop to South Korea's boom in the 70s and 80s, people think that it just means taking on an ideological approach to markets, which is really not right. South Korea looked at the list of lessons, if you will, that the first world was preaching during the 1980s, and said, these are the things which will work for us. And then, very importantly, once South Korea decided on an export-led growth strategy, it said, okay, what do we need to do to make the strategy work? And that's the discipline.
How do countries get caught in the ideological trap? And we should point out in this book, Turnaround, Third World Lessons for First World Growth, there are a lot of nations that don't get the opportunity to select on their own. They are forced into making draconian steps that harm the economy.
Well, it's interesting. I think it's quite ironic, actually, that you think what's happening in this country, and we're debating what fiscal discipline means right now, and we're making choices that we don't have to make that are in some sense hamstringing ourselves. So when it comes to fiscal policy, what discipline means is very simple. It comes from Aesop's fables, the story of the ant and the grasshopper, meaning that fiscal discipline means saving during good times and running down those savings during bad times. In 2001, we had a huge fiscal surplus, a $236 billion fiscal surplus, which we chose to give back in tax cuts. Contrast that with Chile, which in 2008 was booming due to the copper boom. The treasuries was full, and there was great public pressure to spend that money. The finance minister said, no, this is money for a rainy day. And when in 2009, 2010, the financial crisis hit, Chile instituted a $4 billion tax cut to help stimulate the economy.
And it pulled them out. We're talking with Peter Blair Henry, the author of Turnaround, Third World Lessons for First World Growth. This is The Takeaway. So contrast Chile and a place like Argentina, which does not have as strong a political system that can maintain the discipline, stay the course, and where there is political instability, you're not going to have the kind of reform discipline that it's going to work here.
Absolutely. So one of the other key ideas in the book is, in order to generate the kind of prosperity we want to see in the next 5, 10, 15 years, you need discipline, but you also need clarity. And your point, John, is really well taken, because in Argentina, there's a lack of clarity. What will be the government's stance towards foreign investment, for instance? In Argentina, we recently, just last year, we had the partial renationalization of YPF. And so there's a lack of clarity as to whether people can actually trust the government.
And that lack of clarity, of course, means investments don't want to come in because they see risk. Let's conclude on something you talk about a lot in here, the HIPCs, the heavily indebted poor countries that are a real economic problem for both the first world and the developing world.
The heavily indebted poor countries, the critical takeaway there is the following. Discipline in the context of international aid means we have to ask hard questions. And in the past decade or so, we have been playing effectively a shell game, writing down debt on the one hand, but taking away aid money on the other. And we could have a long debate about whether aid is effective, but basically we've not increased the net resources we're providing to these countries. And there is evidence to show that aid in small quantities, at targeted interventions, can work. But we're basically playing a game here.
And the scale of the aid is less important than the targeting of the aid to specific relevant problems.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
All right. You say in this book, and we'll say this before we go, that the stock market is often a really good predictor of what's going on in individual countries. That was the case in South Korea. Does the stock market's success here in the U.S. mean that the sequester is no big deal?
No. The key thing is we're still not back to where we were in October 2007 in real terms. That's the first point. The second point, the stock market responding well to current economic conditions is a necessary but not sufficient condition for overall prosperity. So rising stocks without investment by companies, and right now investment in the United States is down about $500 trillion a year relative to what it was about a decade ago. Without that, we will not have a complete turnaround.
All right. Wisdom from the business school dean at NYU, Peter Blair Henry, is the author of Turnaround, Third World Lessons for First World Growth. Thanks so much.
Thank you, John.